My name is Matt Miller, the campus pastor of New City Church Shawnee, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today, and a special thanks to those who give financially to New City. Your giving makes this podcast possible. Now, I hope today's message inspires you to trust in and live like Jesus. If it does, I want to encourage you to click and subscribe to our podcast, share it on social media, maybe even send it to a friend in need. Man, enjoy today's message.
Church. My name is Matt Miller, one of the pastors, and we are glad, I am glad, that you are joining us today for New City Church Online. We're going to start off today by asking you a question about stress, right? About stress. I feel a lot of stress these days. Recording this message, it can be stressful. Homeschooling our children can be stressful, and I'm sure there are things in your life that are stressful as well. So here's what I wanted to know and wanted you to jump in and share with me is, how do you feel stress? So stress is something that we actually feel. It's something that we can tell what's going on in our body. So how do you feel stress? How do you feel it? Like for me, right, I feel stress. It's like Hulk Hogan, the big professional wrestler. He comes up behind me and just squeezes the back of my neck. And then my neck gets tight and I start doing this and I start because I can feel it. And when I feel that, I know, oh my gosh, here's some anxiety, here's some worry, here is some concern. Would you let us know? Share that with us. How do you feel stress? Post that in the comment sections. And for me, as you're doing that, I learned this week kind of an aha. I might say something that you'd be like, well, of course, Matt, I knew that for a long time. For me, it was like a big learning this week. I learned that a common factor in stress is uncertainty. That uncertainty is a huge, huge factor, not just in my stress, but I think in humanity's stress. I think people feel stressed when they don't know what's going on, right? If you're like me, you're watching the news, and if you're like me, you notice that the news changes. Our federal government changes things, our state government changes things, our local leaders change things, and then we who are managing our own homes and maybe your business or your ministry, whatever it might be, we're making decisions based on what we hear, and then things change, and we have to change our decisions, and we have to go a different direction, and it's uncertainty, right? And that uncertainty creates stress. And so today I wanted to begin simply by encouraging you on the other side of this camera that if you're currently feeling stress, anxiety, worry, you're not weak or weird. You're human, right? You're normal. Like you're not broken. There's not something wrong with you. It's just the truth that humans, when we don't know what's going on, when we don't have a good sense of what's going to happen next, we get stressed. Us humans, when we don't have control over certain things in our life, if we don't feel like we can kind of help guide the outcome, we get stressed. And so you're not weird, you're not weak, you're not broken, you're actually normal. Because this is, as we've said and you've heard said, is unprecedented times. No one in the history of the world has experienced what we're currently going through. And we're going to get through this together. And I actually think that we're going to get through this, or we have the opportunity, right? We have the opportunity to get through this by looking to God's Word. And I know that's maybe for some of you who are watching for the first time in a long time or for the first time ever, that, oh, you're just going to make this spiritual. No. It's very spiritual for us. Like the worldview that I have, the worldview of many people who follow Jesus, is we have a biblical worldview that God wants to speak into our uncertainty and get us to focus on Him. Like we can keep our worldly perspective or we can discover heaven's perspective. And that's what I hope that you discover today. There's a leader in the Old Testament by the name of Joshua who also went through an extreme period of uncertainty. I mean, for one, Joshua is the leader who followed the mega leader Moses. So you remember Moses, everybody's heard of Moses. Moses was the top dog, if you will. He was the main leader for the nation of Israel for a long time. I mean, Moses is the one that God used to rescue his people out of Egypt. Moses was the leader, along with Aaron and others, who had to manage all of the complaints of the Israelites, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. That was Moses. He did that. It was Moses who had many miracles, who went up onto the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. I mean, that was Moses. Moses did miraculous and awesome, God-sized things. I mean, that's who Joshua followed. It's pretty stressful, having to follow a leader of that magnitude. Not only did Joshua have to follow the mega leader Moses, get this, Moses led the nation of Israel to the doorstep of the promised land, their promised destination. And when I say the nation of Israel, I'm not talking about 12 people Some believe that there was around 600,000 people, maybe more, that were a part of the Israelites. And Moses leads these people to the doorstep of the promised land. The only thing between them and the promise is the Jordan River. And he gets there, and God tells him, "You're not going any further." And Moses dies. And so now Joshua is the one who gets to lead the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. That's stressful. It's uncertain. Why is it uncertain? They'd never been there before. They'd never crossed the Jordan. They had never gone into the promise. And now here you have Joshua following mega leader Moses, taking this army of people into a never before place. But we learn something about Joshua, and Joshua teaches us something about ourselves, in that although Joshua was a leader when there was a ton of uncertainty, he was also a man who had seen God do remarkable things. He was a person under the leadership of Moses and as a part of the larger community who had seen God show off and do crazy, crazy awesome stuff. And so Joshua had this faith that, yes, this is uncertain, but I know that we can follow God. There's a book in the Old Testament actually called Joshua, and it's his story. It's how he led, and it's what God does during that time of Joshua's life. And in Joshua chapter 3, we see Joshua beginning to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River to the place that they've never been. And I want to bring your attention to this. I want us to start here today to see what we might learn. And so in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, this is what we read. "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you are to break camp and follow it." Now, here's real quick, here's what's happening here. The Ark of the Covenant is a beautiful, specifically crafted structure that inside of it has the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets with the law on it. It has Moses' staff. I'm sorry, it's a special staff in there. It has some manna that the children of Israel ate in the desert. And it represented the very presence of God. Like, we can't overstate the importance of the Ark of the Covenant to the nation of Israel. That is how God was represented to them. And there was special people who were assigned to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and that was the Levitical priest. And they had a ton of rules to follow just to be able to pick the Ark up off the ground. I mean, there's even stories in the scriptures where people died because they simply touched the Ark of the Covenant. Very holy, very special, a lot of reverence towards this, and because God said so. And so Joshua says, again, the thing that represents God amongst the people, the Ark of the Covenant, Joshua says, when you see the Levitical priest pick up the Ark of the Covenant and begin to march, he says, "I want you to follow it." Notice what he says next, "but keep a distance of about 3,000 feet between yourselves and the Ark." It's the original social distancing. Right? The reverence, the fear, the holiness. Like, we're going to let it go out in front of us about 3,000 feet. Don't touch it. Don't get too close. Just follow it. 3,000 feet. He says, "Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go." Notice this, "for you haven't traveled this way before." And this is the key part that I want to start off with, is that when we enter into seasons, stages, context of life where we don't know what's going on and there's so much uncertainty, we can cling to the words of Joshua here that says, follow God, stay close, because you've never been this way before. As you are dealing with stress in your own way, don't take God out of the equation. As you're worrying, as you're trying to have faith, as you're trying to follow Jesus during these times, don't take your eyes off of God. Don't let your eyes get focused on the news. Don't let your eyes get focused on the next article that you read. Yeah, you can read those things, right? I'm not asking you to ignore the news and ignore the news of the day, but our eyes and our faith need to stay focused on God. And what God's word says, his perspective, not man's. Man's perspective right now, and I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you, man's perspective these days isn't, "Yay, God's got this." Man's perspective is, "It ain't looking good," right? But we don't follow man's perspective. We follow God's perspective and what God says and what God is doing. And Joshua says to you, and he says to me, "Hey, follow God, for you've never been this way before." Now, what's good for us is that story in Joshua is in the Old Testament, and that's how things operated then. But if you were to flip your Bible, the pages of your Bible, or if you were to swipe several pages in your on your phone Bible, what you would get to is the New Testament. And in the New Testament, God once again sends his presence to the people. But he doesn't send his presence in a beautiful crafted box. He sends his presence in the very person of his Son, King Jesus. John 3:16, right? For God loved the world in this way, that he sent his one and only Son, that whomever shall believe in him won't perish, but have everlasting life, right? Like that's God's presence to us. And in this presence, God doesn't say, and keep your distance. God doesn't say, hey, stay 3,000 feet back. No, now God's presence says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Forget the 3,000 feet. That was then. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that we get to lean in and get as close as we can to Jesus. And that's my hope for you today. That's my hope for us, right? Like starting right now, in the next words that come out of my mouth, the words that you hear, it's that God, I believe this God desires for you to trust in Jesus and live like Jesus. Like he wants you to lean in. Amidst all of the uncertainty and all of the things that you're feeling, the anxiety, the stress, all of that stuff, right? You can remain in that. I can remain in that, or I can fix my eyes on Jesus. I can lean on him. This is how the gospel, you've heard that word, the gospel before, right? The good news. This is how the gospel becomes truth and real reality in your life. Not just some word that you know. It's no longer a church word. Like we get to feel and experience the gospel. And the gospel is that God loved us, sent his son Jesus to lead us because we've never been here before. We don't know what we're doing. And we need a leader, and there's not a more faithful leader in the history of the world than the very Son of God, Jesus. Now, in Mark chapter 3, we've been studying the book of Mark. We're going to continue that right now. But in the book of Mark, Jesus kind of paints this picture of what it looks like to draw near to him. So if you have your Bibles, again, go from the Old Testament to from Joshua 3 to the New Testament book of Mark chapter 3, and we're going to notice what Jesus says about joining him as close as we can, right? Actually, if you wanted to say it like this, that Jesus wants you to be a part of his inner circle. And so, and there's not a lot of rules, right? It's a, you get to, and it's this, hey, I want to be a part of it. And so right now, I'm just going to invite you into the scriptures to see how we might join in Jesus' inner circle. Look with me in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. So Jesus is teaching, and his mom and some family show up. A crowd was sitting around him and told him, look, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are outside asking for you. He replied to them, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. And so Jesus paints this picture that his inner circle, right, those who are leaning into him, those that are his family, are those who do the will of God. Whoever does the will of God, whoever's chasing after God, whoever's pursuing God, whoever is in uncertain times following God, Jesus says that you and me and all of us that do that are his mother and his brother and his sister. I want to propose to you today this idea of maybe three different types of families. If I could maybe take this passage and give it some application for you. I want you to think of three families, and if you wanted to draw this, if you like to draw and want to kind of participate and kind of get in my brain, think of a Venn diagram. The Venn diagram are three circles that are kind of form a triangle and where the three circles intersect in the middle. That's a Venn diagram, right? And so we're going to use that kind of illustration to talk about these three families because I think there are three families that we get to be a part of as we are following God. And I want to give you those three. The first one is this. It's God's family, right? God's family. And God's family is a personal decision. If I had to describe it, I would say the personal decision to trust in and live like Jesus. Like the minute that you do that, the minute that you choose to align your life, right, to God and his ways, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, that you are saved, that God in that moment, the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart and your mind, that you are adopted by the Father and you're a part of God's family. It's a personal decision. And so, man, if you haven't yet made that decision, we want to encourage you to do so. But that's the top circle, right? It would be God's family. The second family that I believe is really important as we're pursuing this inner circle of Jesus is your family. your household, right? Kind of described it like this. It's that you love and you lead your household, not just you, but your household to trust in and live like Jesus. So those that you're overseeing, whether it's your kid and your teammate, your spouse, or maybe you're sharing an apartment with a friend, whatever it might be, that in your context right there, that you are leading your household to trust in and live like Jesus. And finally, that third circle would be your spiritual family. And this is where you trust in and live like Jesus with your church friends, right? It's not just you. It's not just your family. It's you've got this these other folks that you've met at church, and together you are trusting in and living like Jesus. Those three circles, right? God's family, your family, spiritual family. Now, in a perfect world, those three would all intersect, and we would stay right there in the middle, in that spiritual sweet spot. Right? And that's our goal. Our goal was that spiritual sweet spot, living in God's family, our family, and spiritual family, all at the exact same time. That's the goal. That's what we hope to see happen as we continue to study Mark, as we continue to do life together, whether it's online or in person. But I don't want to assume that that's happened, and I don't think it's safe for you to assume that either. So I want to quickly share with you some observations of what it might look like if you were to isolate or ignore one of the circles. Okay, so here's what you might discover in your life if you were to isolate or ignore one of those three families. I want to start with if you only lived in God's family and your family. So if you lived in those two and you were to ignore spiritual family, what you might miss out on is the iron sharpening iron mentality, right? That you would miss out on other people's perspectives on life, on faith, on scripture. Like you just kind of, I'm going to pray, I'm going to spend my time with God, and I'm going to lead my family. Well, you would lose the perspective that other people bring to understanding the scripture. Here's a fun one. If you ignore spiritual family during this time, you also limit your generosity. Like there are certain things that you can't afford to do to help others on your own. But collectively, like being a part of a church family, you take your tithe and offering and you add it to everyone else's tithe and offering, and all of a sudden we're able to do some really significant and fun things. That's a good deal, right? But we miss out on that if we ignore or isolate from our spiritual family. And here's the last one on this. Your kids miss out. Your kids miss out on being around other church friends of their age. They miss out on having fun with other children who are pursuing, trusting in and living like Jesus. And man, I want my kids to be inspired by your kids, and I want your kids to be inspired by my kids. But if we take out spiritual family, if we isolate or ignore it, then we miss out on that opportunity. Look at this next one. What if you only live in my family and spiritual family? So what if you only live in the bottom two circles and you ignore God's family? Man, I think this one, you're tired. You're like, if this is where you live, this is how you do life, like you're leading your family and you're a part of a spiritual family, like you have church friends, but you're not walking with God and part of God's family, you're exhausted. You're trying to look the part, to be the good boy, to be the good girl, and to let other people think that you've got it all together, and that's got to be exhausting. Man, the truth is, if you live that way, you're going to miss out on the only relationship that can fill you, sustain you, and cause you to remain in true biblical community. That's the relationship with God. How about this last one here? What if you only had spiritual community or spiritual family and God's family? Like you kind of like, yeah, you got your family at home, but you don't really lead there. Like you give your heart and your soul and your ministry to your spiritual family, and you're really faithful to your abide time and to your prayer life and those sorts of things. But not like if that's you and you're not currently leading your home to trust in and live like Jesus, what you might discover is that you're not having an authentic life. Like you live one way here and another way at home, and what's happening is your home is getting a taste of spiritual community. They're getting a taste of church that's not a good taste. And what you might discover, unfortunately, is that when your kids are older and your spouse maybe decides that, hey, this church thing isn't good for me. Like I don't like what it's doing. It's not real, because you're not who you are at home when you're out there. We don't want to live like that. The idea is, as we get into Jesus' inner circle, is that our walk with God, our walk with our family, our walk with our church friends, it's one and the same. And we're on this fun spiritual rhythm together. Over the next several weeks, we're going to continue to talk about these different relationships that Jesus managed and how we walk in those three circles, God's family, my family, spiritual family, at the same time as we pursue this intimate relationship with Jesus. Remember this, there is no social distancing with Jesus. He invites you to get as close as you can to Him during these uncertain times. And that is my prayer for us today. So I hope to see you next week as we continue to lean in the chapter of Mark chapter 3 and discover how we take our next step towards Jesus.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, and thank you for supporting the teaching ministry of New City Church. Man, if this podcast inspired you and you want to partner with New City, you can give now by clicking the link in the description or visit newcitychurch.com/podcast for more information. Have a blessed day.